I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love and love to hate all things fashion. Hey.
Hello.
We're back. Episode 73.
Fashion Hags in your ears. It's time for the three of us in the basement. Everybody. Hi. We're getting funky.
That's where my tote bag is. I've been looking for that tote bag.
Anyway.
There it is.
I look over and see a tote bag I've been looking for.
I only have 3 dozen tote bags to choose from on any given day. So,
how long have you had that Le Chateau box?
A long time. Yes, Dave has a bunch of old CDs in a Le Chateau shoebox.
Judging by the style of shoe on this, yes, on the little image, I would say,
oh my God, what is the style?
They were bronze. Peep toe high heels.
I mean, they're pretty classic as far as a little shoe goes. Pretty cute.
Yeah. They were like, bronze metallic. This is maybe 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like a little ballroom dancing shoe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little hoof.
Yes, it is. But also incredibly uncomfortable. It's a piece of plastic shit.
That's a 45-minute shoe.
It's like a cardboard heel.
It's not even an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I probably paid no more than $29.99 for them.
I hope not. Yes. In 2002.
No. It's not even going to happen. Anyway.
Hi, guys.
Reminiscing.
It's episode 70-something.
70.
We just said it, and I forgot already. It's 73.
Fine.
Hi. Everyone.
Yes. Hello. We're back. I was thinking before the show, I don't have much to report.
Well, I went to see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, well, there you go. Let's talk about that.
Guys, it's really good. It's not the greatest movie there ever was, but I love Queen. I really like Rami Malek.
Yes.
I really like that Brian May produced it. So there's got to be some level
legitimacy,
of truth to
it. Yeah.
The songs are so good. I don't know. That movie was like 2 hours and 15 minutes long. I can't believe they were able to make it that short. There's so much that you could, I mean, there was 1,000 directions you could have.
And they didn't even get into his childhood or anything either, right?
No.
It was just his, like, adult life.
They got into, like,
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, sort of where he meets Brian May and Roger Taylor, sort of-ish where it starts. Like, it starts a little bit before that, but, like, 3 minutes of movie time.
Sure.
But they sort of frame it around that huge Live Aid concert.
Oh, yeah, the big deal.
At Wembley.
Yeah.
Or Wimbledon,
in the white
outfit.
Whatever
it is.
Yeah.
And so that sort of bookends the story and sort of brings, that's sort of the arc.
Yes.
That the story is told through. It's so good. I just love Freddie Mercury. I love the music. It's so good. There's this great cameo by Mike Myers.
I heard about it.
He's great.
Yes.
And Mike Myers has this great connection to Queen and
Bohemian
to that song
Rhapsody.
In particular.
Yes.
And I don't want to spoil
it. He made it come back to the number one, and then when Wayne's World came out.
Yes, and the timing of that is hilarious because Freddie Mercury died in 91. Wayne's World came out in 92. But when Freddie Mercury died, he announced it. He announced that he had AIDS, and very shortly,
very
I don't know how
passed,
long it
yeah.
was, but very, very quickly afterwards.
Because he denied passed. It for a long time, hey?
Well, he didn't deny it.
He just didn't address it.
Yeah. He didn't speak publicly about it at all. And, the band knew, everybody, people in his family and stuff knew, but anyway, Wayne Campbell, Mike Myers,
rock on Wayne,
Mike Party Myers, on, I guess, and this is just like Hollywood lore that I just love, but I guess Mike Myers approached Freddie Mercury and the band Queen.
Sure, back in the day.
Back when they were writing Wayne's World, the movie, which is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yes, fantastic.
I probably know every single word to it.
And Wayne's World 2, yes.
Yeah, Wayne's World 2.
I have a special card for it.
I could see that. Yeah. Anyway, so I guess Mike Myers, and I might be wildly wrong on this, but this is a story that I know. Mike Myers approached Queen and Freddie Mercury to get their permission to include the song Bohemian Rhapsody in the film. He was not going to make that film if he didn't get their permission.
Sure.
That was like, if I can't use this, we're not going to make a movie. And in fact, you know, when he goes to get the guitar at the music store and he starts playing, he starts riffing and he starts to play Stairway to Heaven.
It says No Stairway.
It says No Stairway.
Yeah.
I guess Led Zeppelin said, no, you're not allowed to use No Stairway. So they turned it into this whole huge punch. I'm like, No Stairway, denied. And it was like this total like nod kind of fuck you to Led Zeppelin for not letting them use the song. Anyway, so then he got the go ahead from Freddie Mercury in person in 91, the year before, like while they were still writing it and making it, whatever. Sure. And within a year, I think Freddie Mercury had died. So this is like a thing of such great importance for Mike Myers. Yep. And then he plays this great, it's this perfect part. Like, you can tell how much he must have enjoyed. I don't want to spoil it because there's a few really good scenes
about
him.
Yeah.
And, but it's this really perfect moment of Mike Myers in the movie. It's very clearly Mike Myers. There's no denying who it is. And the role that he plays is like, it's just really delightful. It's a very nice little tongue in cheek.
There's a funny poignancy to it.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen it. Yeah. It's really good.
And he doesn't even like have to stand outside of that desk. He's behind that desk.
No, he's behind the desk the whole time. He probably was on set for 2-3 days. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
He probably would have done that for free. Yeah. He probably would have been thrilled to have been
take
a part
a day
of it.
And do it. And
he was probably stoked to have participated because of Wayne's World. Mm-hmm. I mean, arguably, I would say that partly because of Wayne's World and partly because of the death of Freddie Mercury, that song became number one again in 1992, like 30 years after it was, or 20 something years after it first came out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you guys go see it. It's really good. Mm-hmm. There was this really funny thing that happened. We were at Fifth Avenue, which is this really nice little Cineplex theater.
Like indie theater, yeah.
And it's small. And they have these really comfortable seats, but they sort of recline and lean back. So Chris, my husband and I were in a row with three other pals. And he had to get up and pee so bad. Like, he usually can fight through it, but he could not. So he got him to pee. And he had to get past these two people. But because these chairs, like, leaned so far back, it was, like, a bit of a production to get past these two people to go and pee. So he gets up to pee. And, like, 15, 20 minutes go by, and he's not back. And I'm like, what
dude,
the hell?
Did you fall in? Like, what happened?
And, like, 30 minutes go by, and I'm like, I don't want to get up and leave the movie. Yeah. I don't have to pee. I took care of that shit before I sat down.
Yeah.
I don't want to get up and disturb these people and get up and leave the movie. I'm very much
invested.
Yes. I'm enjoying this. All the good songs are happening now. I don't want to leave them. And so much time, like 35 minutes go by. And now I'm like, dude, is my husband dead?
Yes.
Has he had a heart attack in the bathroom?
Yes.
Has he hit his head on the urinal and I have to go in there and announce my, like, what is happening? Is all the lights going to turn on and be like, whose husband is this? And I have to put my hand up. No, it turns out he just got up to pee, was back in like 2 minutes, but he couldn't get back into the row.
He just sat somewhere else?
So he just sat on the other end of the aisle next to our friend Adam. And like, didn't like think to nudge down the aisle, like, hey, I'm here. So as soon as I get the opportunity to get up and leave at the very end of the movie, I did not get up before. So as soon as it like started to roll credits, I like sort of got up to run and he saw me get up and leave. He's like, I'm here. I'm like, I thought you were dead. Why are you doing this
in the bathroom?
Oh my God, you've been gone for so long. But also I was not willing to go and look until the movie was over.
Yes. Sorry.
My husband may be dead, but I really want to see this movie.
He might be dead, but there's nothing I can do about it right now.
Another I'm hour not a 45 minutes.
Sorry, I love you. Whoopsies. But anyway, it was really funny. It was a really good movie. If you like Queen, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Go for it.
And Rami Malek does such a good job. Super, super good job. And the kid who plays, or the guy who plays Deaky, the bass player, is the kid from Jurassic Park.
Oh, no way.
We looked up after and we're like, oh my God, it is that guy.
Huh, holy shit.
Yeah, he looks just like him.
Aww.
Anyway, great film. Go see it. I highly, highly recommend. Go see a movie. It's the best time for movies right now, too.
Yeah, you should stay inside.
Actually, I put a thing on our Instagram after I saw it. I had Freddy on the brain.
Yeah,
so I put up a post of Friday. Actually, that reminds me, I'm going to take some self-indulgent plug time right now.
Do it.
I have a handful of these really nice combs.
Oh, yeah.
That they're just sitting around. If anyone needs a cool gift.
Looking for a home.
Shoot me a DM.
They're beautiful.
They're on my Instagram.
They feel so good.
Yeah, you have one. Your mom has one. Mm-hmm. They're just really nice. I use mine literally 3-4 times a day.
Yeah, I like to use mine before bed.
Yeah. They're great in the shower.
It's in the bathroom.
Handmade,
I used it in the shower when my hair was long, and now I just use it as a little scalp massage.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Because I don't really need a hairbrush these days, but I do need a scalp massage.
I bet they would work on Margot and her curly little hair.
I'll try.
Anyway, if you guys want one, they're cool. I mean, nope. No rush, no pressure. They're handmade. They're $65. They're dope as shit.
Yeah, beautiful. They're
on my Instagram at Redbird Suite. Check it out.
Oh, that's yes.
A little plug action. But yeah, that's what's up with me. Going on with you? You got a real good curly mop up.
I got a whole situation going on up here.
Yes, you do.
I like
it. Fantastic.
Yeah, I did like a finger wave moment when I went out to the club the other night.
Yes.
Got my jish.
Yeah, club.
I'm just gonna like get y'all into like my getting up in like party drags.
Yes. Okay.
Tea.
Yes.
So usually it's
break
like.
It down.
Usually I have dinner first.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, I eat.
You're going to want to take care of that.
And then while I bathe in a potion, I usually have a beverage.
I just pictured you in a big, like, witch's cauldron. Your hair just getting curlier and curlier.
Who's saying the steam just, like, styles the hair?
Yes, absolutely.
Like Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
It's like purple steam.
Purple steam.
Yeah. Mm. Looney Tunes animation style with just those little pops and bubbles floating around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's you.
So I do that. And then the curly-haired girls will know that you do not, absolutely do not, fuck with the curl when you're out of the shower.
No, you just
let it
be.
You just let it. You
like
just
your fingers
you pat
run
it,
through it, or not
it.
Even.
It's so hard to do.
Yeah,
and just leave it alone.
It was easier when I had long hair.
Sure.
But now that I have short hair, all I want to do is just take the towel and go.
Yeah, but then it destroys all that.
And then your hair is just a frizzy mess.
Giant mess.
So, I did that. I usually do that moment, and then now I got this fucking Wi-Fi speaker. So
shit, it's a game changer. I have one in my shower. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
In your shower.
It's like a little suction cup one that sticks to the wall.
Oh, shit.
The Bluetooth in your phone. Thanks, Gail. She got it for me one Christmas. It's great.
I just have like a Bluetooth and I just bring it in the bathroom and leave the fan on.
Yeah, I leave mine like on the toilet tank.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then.
So you're as fancy as me.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Just want to know where
I have a special playlist on Spotify called Powder Room.
Yes.
Nice. That's just like when you're just getting up in your moment.
Yes.
And you're like taking a little prance in front of the mirror.
Yeah.
Getting your jish. Doing a little bit of a thirst post.
Yes.
If you're so inclined.
Uh-huh. As we know, someone in this room is.
A couple
is
of times.
Is it me?
Go,
no.
Yeah. only a
hint,
couple
it's not.
Times.
It's not me.
Catherine.
And I've really been leaning into a makeup moment lately.
Do it, man. It's so fun.
It's so fun. And my natural skin isn't as popping as it used to be back in the day when I first hit the scene.
To bring the level that you are comfortable, right?
Yeah, you have to put your armor on. You have to put your drag on when you go out.
Shit, yeah.
I know that this is an even better story. I went out the other night for an amazing program in Vancouver called Indigenous Brilliance, and it's all Indigenous femmes and Two-Spirit people who are brilliant. Oh my god!
And have multiple talents.
And have multiple talents. Usually, it's like a musician or a poet or an academic, someone who's written a really witty article
prominent or whatever.
Someone who, basically, people who have something to say, much like our Lord and Savior, Miss Jasmine Masters.
Yes.
But I did like this like smoky like red eye moment that was a little inspired by Michael Langdon from American Horror Story.
Man, I got. Double boner for that guy, that's for sure. He was also in House of Cards.
Really?
Who? Yeah, he played the son of Annette Bening.
Was he a friend? Was he one of the girls in that too? Was he homosexual?
No.
Okay.
They never touched on that part of his
Could have
character.
Done.
He was just...
He was just
a very attractive blonde man.
Yeah, just Annette Bening's, like, pretty son.
Wasn't Annette Bening? It was
no,
Diane Lane.
It was Diane Lane. Sorry,
it's like Annette. I know the character you're
Wait
talking
a minute.
About, but
no, it's Diane Lane. Yeah. That's who it was. Anyway,
Diane Lane has something to do with my my obsession.
Interesting.
Moving
but
on.
Anyway, that his hair.
I did that moment, yes. But my bitch ass friends. They fucking did me dirty and we took a selfie and I blinked and they posted the one of me blinking. And then my friend Jay Simpson, that rotted, gutted, love that bitch, zoomed in on my face and my eyes look like they're swollen shut. Like this red eye just like started to bleed and like the pixelation. And my brother just...
Is
just
standing against a wall, maybe?
Yeah, my brother pulled it up today and he's like, bitch, your eyes look like buttholes. Like, what is going on? But it's just like... and then another one of my friends, there's been this thing going around on Instagram, like, send me a... alien face emoji and I'll share my favorite photo of you and like a memory and blah blah blah.
Okay,
so my friend, I sent my friend whatever emoji they asked for and they posted this photo of me that I shared with my fucking face all my eyes all busted open and then just wrote reefer smokers. That was like the only
stoner.
You're smoking grass. Which is not wrong.
I was, you paid for this ride. And it was grass.
God, yeah. So I've just been in that moment, and
it's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good
moment. Now that I'm a full time business woman.
Yes.
And I'm wearing many hats.
Yes.
And by hats, I don't mean wigs, but sometimes I mean wigs.
Hey, man, you ain't gonna get mad at a good wig.
I'm trying to take responsibility of my fitness and not sacrifice my sleep,
yes.
My well-being, eating
food, yeah,
for staying on my deadlines. It's like I need to
shuffle some priorities.
Yeah, you can't live in student mode forever. It's
no.
And I have been for the last
everything
8 years of living in Vancouver.
It is unsustainable.
Yeah,
it's unsustainable.
Yeah, it really is.
Regardless of budget. Circumstance, work, yeah. Whatever. It is unsustainable.
Yeah.
So good for you.
All that whole ethical, like all that ethical shit that I run around saying people need to do for their own businesses, yeah. I need to do that for me because I am my only employee.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't have you, then the fuck?
Then
you got nothing.
Everything goes, all of it just falls apart.
Yeah. It's hard. It's a hard thing to start doing when you're in your mid 20s.
Yeah. And you've never had to think about it before.
Yeah, I had to make an effort to do it.
When you could drag your body through the mud and feel fine the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Not eat for hours.
Yeah.
Go to bed super late.
Get up super early.
Yeah.
Repeat.
Yeah.
Work your fingers to the bone.
Have a fucking 99-cent coffee and fucking
a smoothie
dry,
to last you all day.
Fucking dry ass croissant.
Double Wonder Bar.
Yeah.
Call it a day.
Yeah. Fucking maybe
a bagel
if you're,
from Tim Hortons.
A bagel if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Or a fucking. See, I knew the turning point. This summer, this summer, I started buying instant noodles again.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
After like a couple of years of not.
Slippery slope.
Of like. Stopping buying them and like,
yes.
You're not going to rely on that for a meal.
Yeah.
And then I started buying it again and I didn't have them for a few weeks and I had one last week and I was so sick, like for the rest of the day. I just felt so nauseous and just like, oh, bitch, like that is not.
Is that what your body needs?
That is
right
not
now?
It. That's not the moment.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
It's not.
And it's going to take some figuring out.
It is.
What your body likes, what your brain likes, what your schedule requires you or will let
because
you do.
It's like I'm doing all these things that I've always done. I've always ran my business. I've always danced.
You've always had an incredible work.
Have had like
that's
a,
never
a
been,
wild
yeah.
thing. It's like but now it's just like the vessel is just like not anymore, bitch.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to, if your 26 year old ass wants to dance and work hard like you did when you were 16 and 15, it's gonna take some fucking work.
Yeah, and you gotta manage your expectations about what you can bite off. And,
I can't do a 4-hour rehearsal like
4 days
for 2 weeks straight. Like
yeah.
Every
I think
other
if
day.
You can do 45 minutes of exercise
every
three
few
times
days.
A week,
yeah.
You're ahead of
you're
the
doing
game.
Great. You're doing better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And better than you previously. Yeah. Which was nothing.
Yeah.
And I know this thin body won't last forever because a lot of men in my family have always been really slender and then
they're not.
They hit like they hit their late 20s and everything starts to kind of like fill out near the middle.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like that's not going to work on me. Like I will look like fucking, I don't know what's that. Oh my God, there's that one character. I look like Wario.
Not even Mario.
Like long arms, like long skinny arms with like a, no.
It's me, Wario.
Yeah, it just will not be a good moment.
No. Hey man, if you can cut it off at the pass and not get to that point, as opposed to having to fix it after you reach that point, which is where I'm at.
I mean, you also custom to, like, made two human beings here.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
I have different circumstances than you, but I'm still in a position where I feel like I need to do something about it.
Evan, why haven't you made two human beings yet?
Come on, Evan.
Money. Not that I want. Also, I don't want to build the nation. A womb.
No, I meant more the physical.
Physical. Yes.
You're going to be trying real hard to get that. It's not.
Yeah. As Katya will say. I can't say that. Actually,
Katya says some fucked up stuff.
It's but babies don't live.
I think you can say it. I think you fucking did.
Well, yeah, I just did, go. But I'm not going to explain it. Y'all understand what that means.
Yes, absolutely. Oh man, well, good for you.
Yeah, because it's hard to
figure it out. Yeah. And you will be better for it, and your work will be better for it, your business will be better for it. Your brain will function correctly, mm-hmm. and hopefully your bank account will be fuller.
We'll just reflect that.
Yes.
And I won't be, like already I've just been getting all of these offers and stuff, and I feel like when I first started out, I've been like, oh, we need to do all of these things.
Oh, for sure.
And now I'm just like,
and you probably did at the time.
I did at the time. And now it's a different, and I guess I need, now also realizing that I'm maybe in a different stage and I don't need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can make those choices
better
now. Mm-hmm. You can actually,
and I also
make
know better.
Choices.
It's like, oh, do you really want me to do a fashion show, or do you want me to give you $10,000 so you can put on a fashion show?
Yeah.
With my name on it, and my clothes, and my vision, you know, like, but no, ma'am.
It's like a big picture here.
Yeah.
Well, and plus, like, further down the line, if you ever, you know, when your business does expand and stuff, if that is the pace that you have set for yourself, and then you have other people working for you and other people who hear this about you, you are expected to maintain that. Mm-hmm. But if you start setting boundaries now and limits and parameters, mm-hmm. they will be easier to maintain later because that will be your normal, mm-hmm. right? I've worked for people who don't say no to people, and it fucking sucks working for those people.
The entire film industry.
Yes.
That my husband works for.
The fashion industry.
There's no such thing as no.
No.
It is all yes.
You figure it out.
Destructive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And people are not living their best conditions.
Yeah.
Best life.
And I think like the biggest thing that I've gotten from going to business school has been always getting down to the bag, the money. Where is the money?
Where can
from?
I follow the money?
Where? Yes. What is, before we have any conversations about concept or anything, because me helping you figure out your concept, you're going to be paying for it eventually.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like,
let's just talk about that first.
What is your budget? Because that'll even decide if this conversation continues.
Yes. Before you're going to take up an hour of your day.
Yeah.
Or whatever. An email.
Before I need to like, just schedule you into my day and like let like, my studio and my office is in my apartment which I share with other people. So it's like when I have a client coming over, like I need to like let them know
that
they know, oh, a stranger's gonna be on our house. Like don't be like chilling around in your underwear if that's, you know, if you don't want.
You didn't.
Yeah. I mean, we've had some run-ins on Sunday morning fittings. But it's been pretty funny. Yeah.
Sure.
It's been really funny.
Working into a move.
Yeah. Some of those disgruntled upper middle class moms got a hell of a show a couple of times when my male roommate who's a very handsome gentleman just decided to like foggy eyed like walk out of his room in his underwear and just like stand and open his eyes and realize I'm standing there with my client's mother. And he was like, oh, sorry.
Oh, excuse me. Oops, the daisy.
But yeah, those moms weren't mad about that.
Yeah, there's worse things.
No.
Oh, well. Well, good for you. You figure it out.
The moms are getting their jish wherever they can.
There's a big meme going around, a picture of Jason Momoa as Aquaman. And then like the thing is like, oh, son, yes, I will take you to the Aquaman. You will love this movie. I will be selfless and take you to the Aquaman.
I suppose I could take you. I could squeeze it in.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Outlander's back. Maybe that's my
cheat sheet. Oh,
shit.
Yeah. We need to talk about that.
Outlander's back. It's fucking great.
Fuck. Oh, I'm not sure. There's a lot of savior complex going on.
Stars.
Yeah.
Bravo? Stars? Slice? Although, those weird cable channels.
Did you watch the most recent episode?
Fuck yeah.
Did you see Claire's little rabbit fur vest?
Oh, and then she wears a little...
And then she wears a little shawl.
There's something very Katie Garnham about Claire living in the woods.
Yeah.
Do I need to Google this? There's something about like
that scene where she's like making a meal for her.
Blue-eyed, dark-haired woman. Beauty is what you're
saying.
Stunning. But also, she is a fucking pioneer woman who like built a log cabin from nothing. Like raises animals in the middle. Like they settle North Carolina in the show.
Oh, cool.
And they are literally they have 10,000 acres and no one around other than the natives, the Cherokee who are living around them. And Claire is fucking getting it done.
Can we have to do some Google images after this?
And she
is. And a fucking huge, like.
Yeah.
Because it's like
those
17
bustles and.
Like,
yeah.
It's a huge.
Gigantic. Yeah.
And she's.
She wore pants in a couple of scenes.
She did. When you walked her over the threshold, she was wearing pants.
Yeah.
In the woods where no one could see her, where it's scandalous. Ooh,
although it's been very interesting to watch, like, where she's helping that, like, German family. And then all of a sudden the natives, the Cherokee folk come and they're just getting water out of the stream. But the German people think that is their stream.
And the natives guys are like, nobody owns the water. What the fuck are you talking about?
He's laying tobacco down to...
As an offering
to the water. And then this dude fucking thinks he's poisoning the water and putting a curse on it.
And then that creates a bunch of trauma.
Oh, boy.
Oh, but my Nietzsche friends get their jush at the end of that episode. Yeah,
there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of white saviorship, but there's also a lot of
standing up and sisters doing it for themselves.
Yes.
Oh, but that whole scene where he comes to her house that just did not need to happen.
Oh my God, it was so brutal. Guys, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't care. Like basically, like this show like scalped the native Meryl Streep, and it was just not a cute moment.
Oh no!
And it wasn't in the books either, was it? No, he did. He did in the books.
I think so.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've read them, but I think he did.
You think it was?
Do you still have those books?
I have them all in ebook. I have the first one in paperback. If you want to borrow it,
I might have to borrow it. I need a page turner after Feminacity. I'm like, nothing's measuring up.
I tore through all 8 books in a row. Plus, I was pregnant and wasn't doing anything else.
Right.
So I read all the books.
My Aunt Karen recommended them years and years
ago.
They're
super well, like, they're very well written. They're very thorough. They're very, and there's like lots of violence and historical stuff and then like sexy times.
All right. Yeah, I'll borrow the first one.
Yeah. I'm very into like, my maiden name is Campbell and my mother's maiden name is McTaggart. So there's a lot of Scottish ancestry in my family that goes very, very far back. So I've always been super interested in anything Scottish. So I'm super into it. But then they come to America and there's a bunch of like American, like
blowhards,
like American history stuff. And I'm just like, ugh.
Oh, I see him.
I don't care. I don't care about the Union. I don't care about whatever George Washington. I don't care.
Yeah.
Go back to the fucking. And living in the woods.
Yeah.
And Claire being fucking awesome.
Okay. I'll borrow it.
Anyway,
I'm going to take you up on that.
Outlander's great. I think there may be 4 or 5 episodes in out of the season 4.
Sweet.
It's great. I talked about this on my Instagram stories. Jamie's hairdo in this season is unfortunate.
It's abysmal.
But what are you going to do? They gave him like,
I like
these
the
weird
glasses.
Bangs.
I like when he was wearing a hat and the glasses. I was like, okay.
I'll take that. Yeah.
Well, for our listeners, if you've never watched these, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, there you go.
Either.
It's fine. There you go. This was me last week when you guys were talking about Harry Potter, and I'm like, yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. Right.
There's something else you guys were talking about last week, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah, we want to know a Harry Potter dive.
Yes. Deep dive. Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, all right. Yeah. Now I know what Katie feels when we talk about Outlander.
Well, now I'll read them. Now I'll get in and we can
there you go.
We haven't even started talking about anything, you guys.
No, we're half an hour in. Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Katie found this article.
I did. I found this article. It was from, I read it today. I think Business of Fashion does this. Lots of places do this where they'll just repost articles from the last
from wherever.
Yeah. So this article was just reposted, but it was written in August by Eugene Rabkin on the Business of Fashion. If you guys are listening to this podcast and you're interested in what we're talking about, go and follow Business of Fashion. If you just follow it on Instagram or follow it on Facebook, you can subscribe.
And not everything. They do get pretty deep into like the business side of it.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff, even that stuff, I don't find very interesting. But
there's a lot of good articles, you know, to skim through.
40% of the time, I'm super interested in what's
going on. It's a good one to just take a glance at every once in a while, because sometimes there's some really interesting. It sort of puts scope to the business of fashion. That sounds stupid that I said that like that, but it gives it sort of like, oh, this thing of clothes that we all like and like to look at. This is a massive global industry.
Shopping and the creative side and the
manufacturing
and the labor side. Yeah, yeah, it brings it all together and it gives lots of good perspective and big picture stuff in the fashion industry.
It's good.
By incredibly competent and like accomplished sources. So it's legit.
It's legit. It's a good one. Anyway, so there's this article.
It's not called a fucking like Mary Claire, how to pair your berry lip this holiday season.
No. Yeah. No, it's not that.
I mean, that has its place, but also just wear
whatever. It's very valuable information.
Anyway, the article is called Whatever, How Fashion Lost Its Meaning. And it's not necessary for you to have read the article to understand what we're going to talk about. But that is just the jumping off point. And I'll put a link on the website, fashionhackspodcast.com. But anyway, so the point of this woman's article, Eugene, I'm assuming it's a woman, but I could be wrong.
They never say.
I don't know.
Does it matter?
Even in the bumper.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me. Whoever this person.
Yes.
Her point was that fashion has sort of reached this moment of like peak postmodernism where nothing means anything anymore. It's all sort of meaningless and everything. There's no movements
this
of
big,
art
amorphous,
anymore.
Homogeneous blob of
it has this
and,
anything goes sort of mentality. And she likens it to this art installation by a guy named Jason Rhodes, who, you know, was this, he's an American artist, and he did this huge thing right before he died tragically. But he did this huge installation where he just sort of pulled all kinds of things. It was like 3,000 square foot massive installation, pulled things from all different
random objects,
places and lights and dream catchers and neon and just a bunch of random shit and threw it together all in one place and
called it art.
And
because he is an artist,
that's sort of the takeaway. That was her point
that
of this.
He chooses his art
because he is an artist. This is now art.
Yes.
So
he designated itself.
Yes. And she says this is where fashion is at today. Any piece of clothing is fashion. Dior is fashion. Supreme is fashion.
Nike is fashion.
Yeah. You know, all of these, anything you pick
H&M
up and wear
is fashion.
Is fashion.
Yes.
And it sort of reached this moment of being everything and anything kind of all at once. She says that basically the point of our discussion today is that fashion and style have sort of collapsed in on each other, according to her. And so we wanted to talk about, well, is that actually true?
What does that mean?
What does that even mean? Her prediction was that fashion will cease to exist as a cohesive conversation and it won't move forward, but it'll move in all directions at once, which is to say, whatever.
Yeah.
Which was the title of her article.
Do whatever you want.
So it's an interesting place to jump off of because, for one thing, what is the difference between style and fashion? We've sort of talked about this a little bit before.
Yes. We've touched on it a little bit.
And how does this, I mean, what does it actually mean for people day to day? I'm sure most people don't give a shit.
Yeah, haven't even thought about it.
Yep. I've not thought about it. But it is interesting how she had this one quote that
into the businesses too and the, you know.
Well, yeah, there's so many aspects to it. I just want to pull up this quote that she said that was really interesting. She says, "The signs that we are in a postmodernist era of fashion, where fashion has become unmoored and lost its original meaning, are everywhere. The rise of streetwear, a tsunami of product collaborations, normcore, dad sneakers, the ugly made pretty aesthetic, the erasure and concern for the quality of both materials and construction. So that was sort of the part that hit me. It's like the trends and stuff no one really cares about anymore, or they're not as, according to her,
they don't have the same weight.
They don't have the same weight anymore. Brands are still dictating what to buy. Like, it's not a democracy still. Yes. Like brands, you still buy what you're told to buy, essentially.
Yeah.
According to the cycle, but there's not as much. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean as much anymore. But the part about the erasure of concern for the quality of both materials and construction was really interesting to me, because I think that's true. I think people.
Yes, absolutely. I would agree to that.
I think people are.
Well, that's in some the ways, reason fast fashion exists.
Yeah.
Is that the quality of the piece is irrelevant, mm-hmm. is unconsidered.
But also on the other hand, things like, I just read this other article, I forget where, but they did these tests on quality and an H&M t-shirt. H&M,
I've had things from H&M literally last 20 years.
Yeah, I've had stuff last a long time from H&M.
Yeah.
And
random. I can't predict it either.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows
like,
where
I can't see it in the store and be like, what? This is going to be a hoodie that I'm going to wear forever. Or this is going to be a pair of pants or whatever.
Yeah. But like a simple cotton tee from H&M outlasts a $495 t-shirt from Supreme or wherever the hell it came from, or a dress from Balmain. Like, okay, so now the customers of these high-end brands, they don't care about construction. Yeah. Did they ever, since this fast fashion thing has started, did they ever care about it, or was it trend-based?
Yeah, was it ever something they paid attention to?
Because so much of the trends exist on that higher upper level of fashion, and then it gets filtered down. If you guys remember the fashion cycle, that's sort of how it works.
Yeah.
So
it was very top down.
Very top down. So I'm curious about where those trends and where those trends turn into become fashion, or where they become style. Because in my opinion, style and trends don't correspond.
Yeah. There's no crossover in that Venn diagram.
I mean, like if what you wear is so wholly dictated by what's trending, I don't think you have any style.
Well, that's the thing. YSL,
no, but you are fashionable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. YSL said, fashion fades, style is eternal.
Yes, that's right.
And you can be fashionable, and you can be stylish, and you can be both, and you can be neither.
And you can be neither. But they're not mutually exclusive.
But you can be, back in the day, to be fashionable, you had to be rich, mm-hmm. or be in the fashion system and have connections.
Yeah.
But to be stylish, it didn't matter. You could be stylish and have no money.
Mm-hmm.
You can make your own clothes or thrift all of your clothes and still be stylish. Or you can be fucking rich and be a fashion victim and not know how to put an outfit together.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
And I think even fashion victims don't exist anymore.
No.
To some extent. Because you girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, there's no bad looks on runways anymore. There are no train wrecks anymore. Because everybody's so curated and precise.
We didn't see that Celine show recently.
Well, I'm trying to block that from my memory because it was just terrible. I didn't like it when it was Saint Laurent 5 years ago.
The fucking, like, the uninhibited rage.
I was sad. You had rage. I was sad because it was Celine and it was.
It should have been so much better.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway, sidetrack. Hedy Slimane blows donkey dicks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That is not new information. From us, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
But
we haven't exactly sung his praises in the past.
No. I'm okay if he just didn't do anything ever again.
Yeah. Although I'm kind of interested to see what he'd do with Chanel.
I'm not.
Ugh. I'm done with Chanel.
Yeah.
I miss Coco.
Anyway.
Let's just reanimate that corpse.
Let's just do it this week.
It would probably be better than what fucking Carl's doing. She'd probably look better.
He is a reanimate.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying.
Katie. That photo with this photo? Snaggle dude.
I was talking with Aunt Sheila about
what?
She gets edited?
For sure. There is no way a man so vain and with so much access to every sort of
money,
medical procedure and money would let that happen.
Didn't get his teeth. Get all busted up like that.
No.
Yeah.
He would have fucking full dentures before he would let that happen.
Maybe he took his dentures.
It's Photoshop. That
you think
was
it's Photoshop?
Opinion. It's fake.
Yeah.
For sure. Because I've seen him.
It's
I
so
think
good.
I've seen him smile before.
Or maybe I don't care if it's fake or real. I'd love it.
You love
oh,
it.
I was very into it.
I love it.
I was very into
Enough.
It.
Enough. Carl, go away.
Yeah, just
go live in one of your 16
take your
houses.
Photos if you want. Who cares?
Go put on rings till you
close your
long day.
Put your pen down. Just move along, please.
Or just draw, and then don't show them to anyone.
Yeah.
I think he, like, he was
I don't think fighting. He can turn it off.
Read the yeah. room, Carl, for God's sake.
I think he feels this weird sense of supremacy because he...
He's just been
He outlasted YSL. He outlasted Valentino. He outlasted all of his contemporaries.
Yeah.
He's like, I was not the most famous. I was not the most lauded. I was not the most successful out of all you bitches. And I'm still here.
I'm still here.
He's gripping on to that fucking Chanel contract with his bloody old fingernails.
His shit, his like Karl Lagerfeld shit is all over the place.
Oh, it's garbage.
Too. Yeah.
It's at like, it's on that same poorly lit floor at the Bay as like Tangier and fucking.
Yes. Saw it recently.
Fucking Tommy Bahama.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Oh God. Okay.
Anyway.
I completely.
Yes.
It happens.
But the whole idea of the fashion victim. Yep. I think is does it, I don't know if it probably still exists because people still are train wrecks in their outfits, but I think people are much more accepting of people, this postmodern thing, whereas Moses Lack from The Simpsons said, it's weird for the sake of weird.
Yeah.
Like, you are okay to just do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know,
and I wonder,
you're
going to
get panned and you're going to get praised.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that means nothing.
Yeah.
Because your celebrity is not reflected on your positive or negative reviews by other people.
Yes, yeah. And I wonder, too, because there's so much
good press.
There's so much, yeah. There's so much. It's like everyone has a platform now.
Sure.
So everyone
to fill with whatever they deem worthy.
So there's no level of curatorship anymore at fashion shows. It's who has the most Instagram followers.
Yeah. They're in the front row.
Who's the biggest influencer? Yeah, like, so they're not going to go and say, I want to go see this Chanel show because I love Karl Lagerfeld and the history of the house, blah, blah, blah. And I want to go see this show because I'm really interested how he adapted to this. There's no curatorship of what these influencers are going. They're going to where they're going to get the most paid
and have their picture taken.
And have their picture taken.
Whoever, Rihanna,
in an outfit
or
that's been
whatever.
Chosen for them.
And every show is like
the same.
That.
Yeah.
So how much.
What does that mean?
Yeah. How
so
much
these
of that
people
does
who are
actually
influencing,
mean for influencing
are not really influencing their own point of view or their own perspective. They don't have a vision. They don't have an own personal vision.
It's not there.
The same way that like a Grace Coddington or a. Even like a Susie Bubble or like all of those bloggers that when we were in design school who all had their own opinions and they all had their own sense of style. Now it's like fucking the fucking Kardashians running out in an outfit that was chosen for them so they can sign their check or get their check signed.
Yeah.
You know, and like they have no opinion. Mm-hmm. They're just walking hangers, you know? Yeah.
They're of their fault. They are representatives of their followers and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their followers aren't saying like,
or the brands that
oh
are
my god,
their
please
bills.
Go to this because it's really important.
We really like this show.
We really like the show, and we really like the steps that they're taking towards inclusivity. Or I mean, who cares?
Whatever.
Like whatever it is, those people aren't doing. I mean, some people probably are, but the vast majority
they're not the
of,
loud voices.
No,
not the ones at the
with
front
all
of,
the followers with all that.
No,
so how much of that is making the is changing the bottom line and changing how that is disseminated because people are still going to buy what they're told to buy, according to this article.
Yes.
Which is true, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But how much of that is style versus fashion when it gets down to the masses? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, to me, like fashion is an art form. It's a medium in the same way that dance and music and literature and poetry are a medium to tell a story or to create art, painting, sculpture, you know, like these kinds of things. And now this term that like describes what we do as fashion designers, as artists, whatever you want to call it, textile artists. And this includes anyone who does like beadwork and millinery and hats and design shoes and all of these things. Now, it's like fashion for less at Winners, fashion this, fashion like fashion, women's fashion at the Bay, like
Walmart.
It's
a buzzword.
This is
Target.
A fashion department. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and it's just like you can't go somewhere and just go and do like your sculpture department at Walmart. You know, it's not there. Like I think that like is the main thing in in our industry where that's such a hard thing for people to see fashion as an art form is because that word is used so willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Hither and thither in your
clothes.
Yeah.
Or clothing.
Clothing.
Yeah. Yeah. The clothing department, not the fashion department.
Like, it would be the difference between like your kids, like painting they'd give you that they did on like their all purpose media player with like tempera paints versus like the Mona Lisa. You know, it's like getting your Walmart t-shirt versus getting like a t-shirt from Everlane.
I've heard of it likened to food.
Mm-hmm.
And there is haute cuisine, and then there's your mom's macaroni and cheese.
Right.
They both have a place.
Mm-hmm.
They both are delicious.
They both serve a utility.
Yes, they both fill an emotional, creative space in your brain or your body or whatever, but they are very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The presentation is different. How these things are created is different. How
they're consumed is different.
Yes, the materials, context in which they are consumed. Yeah. Is it a fancy, fancy restaurant where you have to wait 3 years and it's $700 for a bowl of soup? Or is it a bologna sandwich with a side of chips your grandma gives you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is equally as fulfilling in a different way.
Yeah. Mm.
That can be the difference between style and fashion, too.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that analogy.
No.
I do. So then I guess there is still, back to the trends, fashion and trends thing. Or pardon me, not trends, style, fashion and style. So when we get to this point where everything is fashion and also nothing is fashion.
Yes.
How does everyone, not everyone has style.
Yeah.
But
Are all fashion brands fashion?
Are all, well, that's another good point too.
Yeah. See, like, I think, like, it's hard for us to, like, look at it from an outsider's perspective because when we consume a fashion show, I think
we're doing it differently.
We're doing it differently. Like, what does it, what are they trying to say with that? What are they trying to say with this collection?
Where did that come from?
Yeah. What are the references?
Where do they think it's going?
Yeah. Who's going to buy these clothes?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the fantasy? What's the story? What's the point of it?
What's it going to look like in real life?
Yeah.
What's it going to look like in a magazine?
Mm-hmm.
That's all things I think of.
Yeah.
I look at it,
it's
like,
oh, this collection is purely going to be editorial. This collection,
no one's going to wear this. Yes.
This collection looks beautiful in person, but it
or they're going to make 18 versions of that dress, and it's going to sell like hotcakes, and then 27 other people are going to make it.
Yeah, like the Roland Murray.
I was going to say
dress.
The
yeah
Victoria Beckham dress. Yeah.
But on the other hand, when you trickle that down, and I think this is what she's speaking to, and this person, Eugene,
yes.
Is speaking to in this article is like where when you get to the point where we're at right now and things at the top look like the things the whole way down the spectrum.
Yeah.
Then what? Then
well, because the directionality of the influence, right, has changed significantly. And we've talked about that in other episodes, how it was very top down for a while. It was these intellectual titans and these economic titans who disseminated and dictated what people would be wearing and choosing and styling.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, and this has been a trend for probably the last 10 years, if not a little bit more, where it's street style becoming more prominent. Everyday people who are not fashion insiders, people who are not, you know, sitting in the front rows of fashion shows, they're the ones being looked at.
Right.
And inspiring the designers. Like this whole street style thing that's kind of waned a little bit.
Yeah,
in the last
it's definitely
few years.
Waned.
It hit the apex, I don't know, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I think. And who knows, it might come back because people are still wearing clothes in the streets. Having a picture taken. But I think it's interesting, like, that we talked about the normcore thing, how that was, like, a kind of cool underground counterculture, kind of, like, different on purpose type of deal. And you wear these cheesy white Nikes that now Louis Vuitton is doing a ripoff of, and now Kanye West is charging
$900. The Gucci ones with all the Swarovski crystals on them.
Yeah, so all these ones that have the huge rubber soles that you used to see grandmas touring Paris in the 90s. The
fucking Skechers.
Oh my God, that's another thing. That's a whole other thing. I remember those. But it's the upside down, topsy-turvy directionality of it. So it doesn't have the same meaning.
Yeah.
If it's going the other way.
Yeah, the stylish people are putting things together.
Yes.
Regardless of the fashion.
Yes, what the big brands are doing. And then now the big brands are copying them and then refiltering it and mutating it and restyling it, which will then be regurgitated and then come back up the other way. And it's just this weird
fashion centipede. Yeah. Shit going back and forth. Shit and barf.
The fashion human centipede.
Ew. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, man. But another thing, too, I was thinking of, too, is that personal style, we've talked about this in other episodes, what does that mean? And this whole what is fashionable thing being at odds and melding into each other is that we're all alternative now. There are no countercultures.
Right.
Because everything has been human centipeded up and crossovered to all these things that everybody, even things like body modifications and tattoos and weird haircuts, and that is all acceptable in most contexts.
Yes.
There are obviously some, you're not going to be a lawyer and have like a neck tattoo.
And the collaboration
thing. Unless
you're
a cool lawyer.
Yeah. She mentioned that too, like the, sorry, Eugene.
We all have niche interests now.
Yes.
We're all, quote, nerds.
And everyone's collaborating.
Things, right.
And doing these pop-ups or these collaborations with.
You're not special anymore.
Who knows who? Who knows? I don't know.
After the fucking, like, the Juicy Couture, what's that awful brand? I pushed it out of my name, my head. Demna, fucking Vetma and Juicy Couture, and then Vetma and fucking
FedEx.
DHL. Thank God.
Fuck it. Like, I was just like,
what is happening? We're all taking crazy pills. Yeah. We're like Mugatu.
It's like, I really try to, like, it's just really annoying because we've worked so hard to get to be good at what we do. And then these fuckers come out with a fucking t-shirt line that they make through fucking, like you, what's it called? You, whatever the hell that business thing
U-line.
Is.
Uline?
You, they make a fucking t-shirt line through Uline.
Kanye West taking fucking Gildan t-shirts that are $12 and charging $250 for them because he fucking screen printed on them.
Yeah. So what?
So this is exactly what this article is getting at.
Yeah. Like, there are no lines anymore.
By the way,
there's no hierarchy anymore.
That company
sucks.
Major Trump supporters sent out letters to every one of their distributors, people. They are super big time Trump supporters, hardcore Republican. Don't buy Uline
anymore.
Take
your business elsewhere.
Take your business elsewhere.
Deinvest.
That's all I'm saying.
Deinvest.
But that whole Gildan t-shirts thing, like,
What?
Like, it just is infuriating. But the good news about this, in my opinion, I'm trying to be optimistic.
Silver lining.
Yeah. Is that these things always happen in weird cycles and weird waves.
There's,
so I think we are on a weird precipice.
Soon. Yeah, I think it's peaking.
I think I'm so, hoping. Too. I think we're approaching
Vemma has been quite quiet lately.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
Virgil Abloh is all over the place, though.
But there's also so much
I'd rather
shit.
Virgil than...
I'd rather, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
But there's so much shit going on just in the world at large. Mm-hmm. There's riots in Paris, in France, all over the place. The pinnacle of so-called fashion is in turmoil now.
It's on fire.
New York and the U.S. in general is a
garbage
shit
fire.
Show. It's a shit show completely. And everyone now is starting to talk about 2020 and the presidential.
What that's going
to
mean and look like.
Global warm. Like, there's all of these things that all impact
Welcome
the fashion
to-
industry. So I'm wondering now if this is a symptom of that kind of, well, fuck it all anyways.
Let's just do
it. What you want.
Let's just go balls to the wall.
Are elsewhere right now.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck
you're
you want.
It,
if you're a rich asshole who can screen print a t-shirt for $12 and charge
someone will pay for it,
some dickhead will buy it. Fucking do it. The world is going to burn. What is happening?
We're not making it alive. You know? Let's
so
just give
I
her.
Just I wonder how much of this crazy shit
and
is
that's just been in the last 2 years.
And I think that's where this whole thing is starting to like really peak. Like, as you say, I think
it's starting to manifest, right? Because these issues are all happening, and so it's all popping up in other ways and in other spots where you don't think it is. And that's where these creative types are now taking this climate and the zeitgeist and all these things and themes and feelings and emotions. And then they're having a couple years to sit on it and mull it over and do it. And then
it
this
takes
is
time.
How it's coming out.
So I'm really curious about what's going to happen in 2 years from now. And even 5 years from now.
Yeah. So where, alternatively, like,
it's going to be completely different.
Now it's my turn to play devil's advocate.
Go on, I'm going to eat one of these tiny Wonder Bars.
What do we think about all of these purportedly eco, like, brands that are like a piece apart and those kind of things, and Rachel Comey.
Yeah.
And they still occupy these spaces like Nordstrom, and they're still mass produced, but they kind of sit on this high horse saying, oh, we're not like
we're
that.
We're different.
We take time to create our product, and it's just like, okay, great. But it's like you basically just take like a fucking Anthropology dress, take a couple of embroideries off of it, slap a ruffle on it, and extra $200.
You add a zero on the price.
Slap it into Nordstrom. You know, it's just like.
But how is that different from
what else was happening?
Exactly.
And lots of brands. Yeah. That's the exact.
Maybe what I'm trying to say here is that there's too much fucked up fashion. Just the same way Miss Jasmine Master said RuPaul's Drag Race done fucked up drag. maybe Project Runway done fucked up fashion and thought and made everybody think that everyone can be a fashion designer. Everyone has a new point of view. Everybody understands the business. And it's just like, I don't know. It just feels irresponsible for us to be mass producing all of these clothes that no one needs.
Well, full stop.
Yeah.
I think that statement, that's absolutely true.
Sentence right
whatever
there.
Follow up you're going to put is also going to be true, but that statement, full stop. Yes, yeah. Stop.
Stop.
It's enough. Everyone has enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. That speed, that this pace that has been building and building and building, mm-hmm. and people have been complaining about industry insiders, like fashion designers who have literally 20 collections a year that they have to churn out between all the different brands that they design for. Four collections a year plus whatever's in capsules and
it's
whatever.
Like no human being needs that much clothes.
And then that combining with the advances in industrialization and globalization and that sort of thing happening, like we said earlier, quality has become irrelevant in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Be it good or bad.
Well, I think
because
also
there's so many things now. Just let me finish this.
Yeah.
I forget what I'm saying. There are so many things now, like you think of back in the day, I think, again, we've talked about this before, made in China was a big red flag.
Yeah.
You don't want things made in China. But now, made in China. Balenciaga's made in China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kors is made in China.
Lots and lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff's made in China.
You go to a mall.
And the grand scheme of things, China's doing okay.
Yeah.
They've, you know, they still have a lot of problems on a number of levels, but they are paying their workers more than other people, maybe not necessarily in a good up to the.
They also have the highest concentration of garment workers in the world.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a lot of fucking knowledge. Like just because someone sits there at a sewing machine every day doesn't, you can think about these people as a mass and it's like, oh, they just sit there and they go zzzz.
And they're just part of the machine.
But it's like, no, like these people have a lot of skills that.
Why do you think it is so hard to get stuff made in North America now?
Because
those skills are gone.
They do not exist.
Yeah.
Those skills are fucking gone. Yeah. It's something that I deal with in my job.
Mm-hmm.
This last season has been particularly difficult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's been lots
trying
of
to make it work
shit.
And
you can't, for example, you can't, like, I had a conversation with our factory about this one piece that we're designing and why the cost, why our CMT, which is our cut, make, trim cost, is basically how much one single garment cost to make,
mm-hmm.
which all your pricing is based on,
and the factory does that math and tells you how much it is. And we're like, well, this price is really high. How can we bring it down? Why is it so high? And it's because their staff. It's a big bulky piece. Their staff is getting older. They don't want to do it. They're older women primarily
who've been doing it for a super long time.
There's no new young blood coming in.
Yeah, to take the lower
cologne. They don't want to. Deal with this big bulky thing in a sewing machine. So they have to charge more to make it more worth their while to sew it. That's just a straight up human problem.
Yeah.
And it turns into an economic one. And guess what? The entire industry is based on human hands making your garment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a overlooked part of it all.
when your workforce becomes human capital, that's when things start to get a little slippery.
Get dicey.
Yes.
Yeah. Oof.
And especially if you live in a place where, like we do, and we, you know, people, brands are trying to make things ethically and pay their people a living wage, they're in a position to say, no.
Yeah.
People in Bangladesh, maybe not in the same position.
No. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, this is a hell of a sidetrack. But
and I understand that. Like, as someone who has to fucking wrangle a evening gown over a sewing machine every now and then.
There's a premium.
It's not easy. Like the shoulder cricks that you get, the neck cricks, just like making sure that your dress isn't fucking dragging on the ground. Yeah. You know, like nobody wants a dusty hem on their wedding day, especially if it's a white dress.
Even things like different fabrics. Mm-hmm. Using different fabrics costs more because this fabric
is hard takes to handle.
Or whatever.
And this fabric is awesome. Yeah.
You look at that fabric the wrong way and it slides off your table.
Yeah.
Give it a little sideways glance and it fucks right off.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, someone sneezes in the room next door and it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it! I had that hem all done!
Where's my cuff?
Someone accidentally comes in and brushes a piece of fabric off and thinks it's garbage. And you're like, no! That's my collar!
That's the third sleeve I've cut and fucked up. That one was going to be the winner, I feel it.
How did we get way over on this?
Oh, anyway,
because we always get to what we know.
That's true.
And we know how to make a garment, bitch.
Yes, and we know how to complain.
We know how to sew a garment. We would probably win a sewing challenge on Drag Race.
Hell yeah!
I don't know. Now I'm like, I would never go on that.
Oh my god! You have to use a shitty Singer sewing machine on top of like a cutting table, and not even on like a sewing table.
Yeah, and that damn stupid 4-way stretch bullshit fabric.
Yeah.
That provided by
fabric
land or whatever, whatever fashion planet or whatever the fuck
you're like, fine, this is getting a cuff. If I have to use that fucking fabric, that's what it's getting.
Yeah.
The rest of it is going to be fabulous.
This is getting Velcro that's glued on. This is not even getting sewn on.
Anyway.
So yeah, it's interesting to see, like you said, this is an interesting time for this particular part of the fashion industry because it's so blurred and meaningless. And pervasive, like it's everywhere, and like you said, the word fashion is just thrown around all over the place, and fashion and style are synonymous and
you
equal,
but and
they're not,
and everything, like you said, Evan, it's fashion and clothes are the same thing, which devalues the whole lot.
Both,
See, to me, fashion comes from a point of view. It comes from a message. It comes from an ideology and ethos or a manifesto,
research.
Time has been put in, you know, it's in the same sense that like when a musician writes a symphony, you know, it's like a collection, everything is hopefully done on purpose. Like that is kind of the in school, that was kind of like the expectation that was put on us as designers.
You didn't just do something for whatever.
You have to like explain why you made those decisions. But now it just seems like
the bottom line. Yeah. So much of
it's
it
a business.
Is
so,
line.
If off shoulder tops are selling like hotcakes, then
that's what you're doing.
Phoebe over at Celine needed to figure out how to do an off shoulder top her way. I fucking did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can sit here and bitch all I want, but I still do have a business that needs to make money, and that's kind of what it comes down to. I mean, I'm not at the scale as like H&M or Celine by any stretch of the imagination.
But you're still considering the same things.
Yeah, you still have to think in those ways.
You're still looking at
ways.
The same things.
And if someone is going to give you money to make a thing that looks like that thing with your point of view turned on it, you'll take that money.
You'll figure it out. You make it work.
Secure the bag at all costs.
Yeah, we're in a weird moment, but I'm excited to see where, because it's, I mean, it's got to get better. It's just got to. Everything just has to.
Knock on wood. Jesus Christ. Nice.
Where are we at time wise? Should we move on?
Yes, I think we're at a good time to move on to the next part of the show.
I feel like we've exhausted everything to the point where we're just sitting here being angry.
Yes.
We're like,
yep.
I don't like it.
Wah.
we'll do our best.
Well, I think between the three of us that we all have done a very good job of maintaining our own style.
Yes.
Yes.
Regardless of what's happening in the industry.
Yes, our own lives or our circumstance or whatever.
And I think that is important. And that is the point of view that you're talking about that has value. So let's end on that positive
there
note.
There you go. And we can have some Wonder Bars. And
then come back to obsess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here we go. We're back. Fortified.
Wonderbard.
Just deep breaths. Shake off the rage that our
last segment
maybe we're not completely Wonder Bread.
No,
it's going back
no there's
more.
A few left in there. Yeah.
Those little mini ones.
We got the little mini bites, though, which is very
satisfying.
For all
American listeners, it's like peanuts and caramel.
It's like a peanut butter wrapped in caramel with
dipped
puffed rice, dipped in chocolate.
Yeah.
It's all of the best things.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best.
Is it puff? Is there puff?
Is it puff wheat?
Yeah, there's a little crunch in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little like Rice Krispies or something in there.
Yeah, crisps. I've
been eating these my whole fucking life.
Yeah. I never started eating them until you turned me on to them all those years ago. And then I was like, literally anything peanut butter and chocolate, I am on board for.
100%.
Like, how did I overlook these for 30-something years?
Yeah.
What is happening?
They're the best.
Oh, so that's been an obsession. Wonder Bars.
Forever. That's a fashion. That's an OG Heggs obsession.
That goes all the way back.
Yes. Yeah. Before the Heggs even existed.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
What's rattling around in your?
I was telling Evan about it a little bit earlier before you arrived upstairs. That
can you believe it? Evan beat me here. This is the first time it's ever happened.
Ever
arrived before me.
Even when Evan lived three blocks away,
and I used to live
your stupid new neighborhood with no parking anymore.
Damn it!
I know,
it's so confusing because there's a bunch of paid and then permit and then free and then not
and meters.
It's the same in my neighborhood.
Anyway, that's ridiculous. But I was telling Evan about it earlier that I have been very deep in Drag Race and Drag Race related things because a whole bunch of seasons were released on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Like all of them, right? Almost?
Pretty
except
much.
For the first one and the most recent two.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And No All-Stars
right, either.
Right.
Which is annoying.
Yeah, because that's fucking
the best one.
Yeah, but you got to hold something back for the next Netflix.
I guess.
Really.
Yeah. You got to have something. But anyway, I went and watched season 7, which is the Trixie Mattel and Katya season.
Oh, yes.
That Violet Chachki one. Spoiler alert.
I mean, it's been out for
3 years.
Way to go. 2014 or whatever. Anyway, it's great. Trixie Mattel's the best. She's so awesome. Brian is also awesome. Trixie Mattel is awesome. Fantastic across the board. I'm very much on board. And I've listened to a number of episodes of Whimsically Volatile with Katya and Craig. And I have very recently, and I'm like distracting my children while I watch. And I put it, we have like YouTube on our TV. So I just let it play. Let her play. Let the music play. Assisted that walk. To just these fucking idiots just talk about whatever. Because they can talk about whatever they want because it's their show and it's not yours.
It's kind of like our attitude
like
about this show.
They're fucking idiots, but in the best way. And their chemistry is so funny. And they're just so great. And they're so talented. And they're such freaks. And I love them so much.
What's your favorite episode so far?
There's one where they had a bunch of food in front of them. And they're just eating a bunch of food.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I'm gonna catch you at the tiny hands.
Yeah.
And she like dips into the chocolate pudding.
And then just rubs it on the table.
Rubs it on the table. Oh my God. Yeah, Katya's fan. I'm into it. The intros were.
They talk about the web show, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The YouTube.
The YouTube web
show. I watched one episode of the Viceland TV show, which I hadn't seen yet. I watched one episode. They like,
yeah,
go out
I've
onto
those,
the street.
Like in their
ask
in
people
dude
about
form.
Sex moves.
Yeah.
It's Brian and Ryan.
Yeah.
They send their like reporters.
Yeah.
Out on the street to ask people about sex moves. Oh man. Anyway, it's lovely and it's fantastic. And I mean, this is preaching to the choir, obviously, because Drag Race is amazing and it's a gift to humanity. And it's so awesome on every level. And if you are not down with Drag Race,
get the fuck out.
Yeah. What the fuck are you doing here?
If you're not down with drag,
leave my house.
Go. Okay. When you finish watching Drag Race, Google local drag. Say you live in.
See, I need to do that part. I went to a drag show.
Oh, I'm bringing my mom to one.
Years ago.
We should go. We should all go.
I don't even remember where it was, but I really need to get going with the new. I know you.
Let's go get up in that jish.
Yes. I need to
get
my jish.
Let's go get our jish. Yeah.
And be a basic bitch.
Oh, but you can wear your new gold eye pencil.
I do. I got a new gold eye pencil.
Your Mark Jacobs. Your Mark Jacobs one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's the Goyles
really
will love that.
It's
the dolls.
Really gold.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's great, and I need to do that part of it. I need to think local.
My favorite episode is the one about drag etiquette. It's like how to do a meet and greet with a drag queen. Don't pull on her wig. how to do tips.
Yes.
How to be a good Judy backstage and not take up too much fucking room.
Sure.
Don't steal no shit from nobody.
Yeah. Don't drink all the drinks.
Don't take all of the free shit. But also, Katya is just like, do not steal anyone's motherfucking tip. She's like, I would rather somebody shit in my mouth while they call my dad a racist than take $1 from my bag of tips. Trixie's just like, what about your father's calling you a racist and shitting in your mouth? And she's like, well, that's just a Tuesday night girl.
Oh my God. Trixie is so funny and so quick and so silly. But Katya's real dark.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Real dark.
I love it.
She's led a life. Oh boy, she's led a life. And like I was telling Evan, like knowing, like listening to the show and the podcast and also knowing that Katya's had a real rough ride in the last little bit with like addiction issues and personal stuff and a whole bunch of other shit that she's getting over and working out. And oh man, come through.
Mm-hmm. Come through, mama.
Honey.
We need an update of the drag lexicon, though.
Honey.
It's getting a little dry.
Yes. Well, we need some fresh blood in the new season, I'm sure.
Yeah, we need some trans girls. We need some trans girls up in there. We maybe need a couple drag kings. Some bearded queens.
Oh my God, there was the one. Who was
some
bigger
girls.
I love it. Kennedy Davenport that dressed up as fucking Little Richard for fucking Snatch Game.
Yes.
Oh, it was amazing. And they were like, you can't do it. That's a man.
It's a man. This is drag.
But she fucking nailed Little Richard. And her argument
and Kennedy's
was
just like, he's in drag anyway.
He's in drag this whole time. Yeah.
you know?
She fucking killed it.
Mm-hmm.
Snatch Game's great.
Mm-hmm. I love Snatch Game.
Maybe Justin Bieber. One of them is racist. Katya was just Susie Orman. And
and they call her Justin Bieber. That wig is a bad investment.
Fuck. They're so funny. Oh my God. And now I'm bummed that I didn't see Trixie Mattel when she came to town. But there's a drag race show coming up in the new year, I thought.
No, like there's one in December. It's,
yeah.
It's a big thing in Vancouver. Oh, it's actually maybe in January. Fuck, I don't know.
There's a bunch of big queens coming.
Yeah, it's a Pheromone.
Bob the Drag Queen was in November. He came, pardon me, she came
Bob.
Through. Bob the Drag Queen, yeah.
A bunch of, but there's a bunch like the Drag Race touring show was coming or something. Like in.
It's called Work the World.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And that has like all, it's like the whole cast is all Drag Race girls. And then they usually get like a couple of local queens to open up.
Sure.
Oh, sweet.
And do like, which is really nice.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that's like something that the Drag Race girls wanted. They didn't want to just come into somebody's city and like start stealing people's
bags. Sure, stomping around and
You know, like
that's great.
There's queens who have like been in that city.
Well, stand-up comedians do that all the time. When they tour, they choose someone local to open up for whatever. They don't, sometimes they tour with two people, but they always try to choose at least one other person who's local to get them on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, right? You get someone big on the bill and then you
Because like for Bob's show, like when Bob was here, they got, Bob got Carmela Barr, who's one of my favorite Vancouver queens.
Mm.
Carmela Barr. Such a good name.
Welcome to the stage, Carmela.
And Carmela is a thick and juicy queen of color.
Beautiful.
And the first time I saw Carmela, they did Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Oh, God.
From Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid. Shit.
That's
a drag
so
song.
Good.
It was one.
And it was a Halloween party, too. So just fuck it up.
God. Perfect.
Take my $5 bill.
Yes,
you
please.
Bitch. Yes.
Anyway, so that's me. I'm
long story short,
deep.
We're going to a drag queen show.
Yeah.
A drag queen.
I got a whole bunch of other seasons of Drag Race I got to tear through. Yeah, I've seen season 5 and season 7 and season 9 and I started season 2 and I gotta like...
So for the next 2 months, Fashion Hags will be a RuPaul's Drag Race recap show.
Yes, just be talking about it. I was telling Evan I need to watch with Alaska.
Yeah, you have to watch All-Stars 3.
Yes.
No, All-Stars 2 was Alaska with Katya. It was Katya, Alaska, Detox, Kennedy. No, Kennedy was with... I'm starting to mix shit up now.
There you go.
But it was a lot of season 7 people on that second season of Drag Race, of All Stars, and the drama, bitch. Because they all knew each other. They were already in the show together. And then 3 months later, they started filming it all again together.
Fuck.
You know?
Oh, right, yeah.
You know?
Just a quick turnover like that.
Fresh.
real fresh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, that's me. So I will probably go upstairs and watch more tonight after you fuckers leave.
Yeah,
so.
Probably.
Good one.
And plus, like, the episodes are like 10 minutes long, too. So it's like,
yeah, you just burn right through them.
Sweet. Remember when I was blabbering
and
about
the
my
shitty like effects that they do where they like put their faces on things? Oh, it's so dumb. I love it. It's so stupid.
When they superimpose the judges table and then from the main stage behind them.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Oh, and they come up with the shitty puns.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Katya, your underwater look sunk. You're safe.
But you, Yvonne.
Oh boy.
Okay, I'm also on a TV moment. I got my Amazon Prime thing just so I could watch Mrs. Maisel in.
You still haven't watched that.
In like a good resolution.
Yeah.
So I was watching it. It was all like scratchy and weird, shit. And it was like buffering. And I was like, "Fuck this shit!" I have Amazon Prime, so I automatically already had that.
I just gotta sign in.
So I just signed into it. And then got into all these shows. So recently they did, the same team behind Mad Men did a limited series called The Romanoffs. And it's it's not a period piece because that's what I wanted it to be.
Yes.
I wanted it to be a dramatic retelling of that story because.
Because that's the most insane story
of all
time.
It was literally like the turning point of human society when like the end
Western
of the monarchy.
Western civilization
completely changed at that point when they assassinated this 300-year-old dynasty.
Monarchy, yeah.
But anyway, this whole show is about, it's set in modern times and it's all people who think they are related to the Romanovs.
Okay. Mm.
So there's like these weird like stories of like, basically, different ways that people feel superior to one another, like socially or financially, or they usually these characters like hold some sort of position of power and how like they interact in their worlds. But to get back to Miss Diane Lane, it's
still coming back.
Yeah. So each episode is a completely different story, but as you go on, characters kind of like pop in and like have small little guest appearances. In that whole situation, and the Diane Lane one threw me for a fucking loop. It was just she's this very with it. Like her husband works for Google, and she's just like, she's like a lady who lunches, and she is descended from the Romanovs, and everybody like knows about it, and she has like all of this. Like she has this Bible in her house that's like in a case and it has like all the names of her family members in it. And it like came from Russia and all this stuff, like when they changed their name and all that stuff after they escaped after the revolution. And it centers around all of this whole story about where her piano teacher that she hired for her kids, her three boys, her oldest one's in university. Her middle child is like a prodigy. He's like this like crazy piano player. And then they have a younger son. Who's just like starting out and kind of like banging around playing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. What's that dude's name from Girls? The gay guy from Girls. He was in Book of Mormon.
Oh, fuck, he's in everything.
Oh, yeah, I know. Who you're
that motherfucker.
Great,
He plays the piano teacher.
Interesting. Oh.
And this motherfucker starts like stealing her life story.
He's on Big Mouth.
Telling other people.
The gay kid on Big Mouth.
Yes, that's right.
He starts like telling people that her life story is his life story. Ooh. He's telling like all the women in the neighborhood.
The intrigue.
And no one tells her about it. Because they all hate her.
Oh,
and they just kind of like,
they
kind of like, but then this whole thing comes up where like the cops call her house and say that someone's like brought up suspicions about this piano teacher and that he has inappropriate conduct with his students. And they don't go any farther than that. So it's just basically this woman's like, Diane Lane's character's like unraveling into mania and like trying to figure out like what's happening. And it's all her fault because she recommended this piano teacher to the whole community and like, and it's basically. Oh, it's like every episode is like a big mind fuck. You don't have any idea where anything is going. And the story begins and ends in like an hour and 20 minutes.
Sweet.
Wow. And
it's all centered around this like weird thing where people think they're descended from the Romanovs or they are and they have like firm proof and someone's kind of like fucking with them.
Right.
Or there's weird like inheritance bullshit.
Yeah.
And
cool. Yeah. I had no idea that was what that was about.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of Mad Men folk come up like
oh sweet
what's the white haired dude
Yeah.
John Slattery.
John Slattery's in there. He plays a novelist who's like, he's writing like all these biographies about his family, the Romanoffs. Mm. He's a Romanoff. And then his book gets turned into a miniseries directed by, who's this French actress? It's not, she was in that movie. Oh my God.
French lady was in that movie?
The French lady that was in that, it was a big movie.
I love her.
The one about, oh fuck, what is it?
Our listeners at home are just screaming.
They're screaming
names.
At me right now.
Just straight up names.
Because I'm sure some of y'all have watched this. It kind of overlaps with interests. But then Miss Redhead moment comes in and she plays the queen.
Julianne Moore.
No, not Julianne Moore. From Mad Men. The redhead from Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
Christina Hendricks. And she's like the two-time Academy Award winner coming to like slum it and doing this role because she can't find any work. And like she's playing the queen who's like the mom character and she doesn't like they have like this big skirmish and there's all this weird supernatural shit that happens. And it's
crazy.
Like it defies genre. It defies everything. Like it could be like a rom-com situation for one episode. And then you get into some weird, like violent murder, bloody shit. And you get into some.
So it's like Black Mirror where each thing is its own thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very. It reminds me of The Outer Limits. Do you remember that show?
Yes.
Was that only a Canadian show?
It might have been.
No, it was shot here, but I think it was all over. I watched it in Europe.
You watched it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mind you, we get weird shit in Europe. It's like the
how you never know what it's going to be about, but it's always unsettling.
Yes.
Okay, I'm interested now. We accidentally just Chris tried to cancel Amazon Prime, and they're like, "Nope." And charged his credit card, and it's like been a
whole
fucking
thing to.
Yeah.
She's like, "Well, we better consume everything Amazon Prime in the next year because I will never pay for
watch
this
Mrs.
Maisel. Again.
I think you'll like it.
Yeah, so I want to watch that. And I fucking hate Amazon, so I'm mad about it. But I'm like, well, I'm going to take all of the money.
Yeah, take all I can.
Do everything I can. We're listening to Amazon Prime, like, playlists, radios. Like, we're just living it up.
Mm-hmm. What's it? I watch American Gods, which was great on Amazon Prime, which is a Neil Gaiman
movie. The Man in High Castle is also on.
Watch The Man in High Castle, devour it.
Yes.
Okay.
But also take breaks because it's not an easy watch.
Yeah. We got a lot of good TV watching months coming up.
Yes, we do. We have ones where we have no choice but
3 o'clock. Yeah, a lot of indoor time.
Good recommendation. Yeah. Sweet.
Sweet.
Mine's real boring, hella boring. I mean, it's going to be boring to talk about, but for me, it was not boring because it's my favorite time of year. It is baking season. I have been doing so much baking. Baking is like a big part of Christmas holiday family time at my house. We make all the things.
Yes.
We don't make like pies for Christmas. We make like butter tarts and truffles and lemon squares and caramel bars and homemade turtles and like no-bake macaron cookies and you know, cinnamon buns and shortbread.
A little peanut butter marshmallow bar.
No. We don't do that one. We do, we used to do a chow mein cookie, which is sort of similar.
It was like a haystack kind of.
We don't do a marshmallow situation, really. No. No, not that one. But basically that, everything that would be at that bake sale, we do that.
I saw those noodles at my mother-in-law's house last week. And I 2 days ago at dinner. And I was like, I know what those are for.
So fucking good. Those ones are so good. So in the last like week, I've made lemon squares twice because my friend Olivia, former guest, grew a little lemon tree in her house and the lemons came in and they were delicious. So she had enough of them and she's like, here, take these lemons.
I don't need all these lemons.
So I made, two different batches of lemon squares, both fucking delicious. We made bread a couple of times. My mom has this amazing homemade
bread. Sourdough's going, whatever you're
sourdough. Oh my God, Bootsy. Bootsy just turned one. We've had our sourdough for a year. By we, I mean Chris.
Yes.
How long does it take for it to?
It can last forever.
It'll last forever.
So is it just like the baby?
Feeding it and using it. Yeah.
You have to keep. Oh. You literally have to feed it.
Sugar or something? What do you put in there?
You take out some of it, and what you take out, you replace with flour and water. That's it. There's this. Told me this great analogy or this not analogy. This great little story, whatever lore, piece of lore about the gold rush. And how guys would go up there with nothing except for flour and water, and they would sleep with their dough.
It was something like toes
or does or something. You either a toe guy or a dough guy. if you live up in the north, yeah. and the tow guys are the tourists who come up and do the tow shot at that stupid bar.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
the
yeah.
dirty tow, whatever that's fucking called.
Yep, in Whitehorse.
Yeah. Or you're a dough guy, and the dough guys are like the ride or the die legits. Guys who's been there forever, and it goes back to keeping their sourdough alive, literally warm enough, like sleeping with them to keep
inside
it
inside their shirt,
inside yeah. their shirts to keep their sourdoughs alive, because that was their bread, that was how they lived wow. and survived the winters, was with these alive. Sourdoughs, because you just feed it and cook it, and every time you take some of it out, you that it becomes a new loaf of bread, and then you feed it to make a new one, and it only takes about a month of feeding it like every day. I think I talked about this on the podcast.
Yes, about a year ago.
A year ago. Because it was like, yeah. I couldn't believe how much work it was to, it was like a
get
pet.
Get started.
It was like
yeah.
having a, like a pet in the house. Anyway, Bootsy, little baby Bootsy's a year
still
old.
Going.
And delicious. So we've been doing that. I've made, we found this delicious pizza dough recipe. I've never made pizza dough from scratch. It was a super good recipe in the Whitewater Cooks.
Good
series.
To know.
And it's super fucking easy again. So we've had pizza 10 times in the last 3 weeks. We made bagels yesterday.
Nice. That's legit.
Oh my God. Toasted sesame bagels. The best.
The best.
And I would just have a pile of bagels for breakfast. You're going to see
around.
Me wearing, or eating a bagel tomorrow. For dinner tomorrow. Yep. For lunch tomorrow.
There you go.
We had a friend of mine had a 40th birthday party last weekend. So we made Rice Krispie squares with, get this, you're going to like this. Those little mini Reese's pieces.
Uh-huh.
So when we like lined the cookie sheet.
Yeah.
With these mini Reese's pieces. And then plopped.
Poured it on top.
It on top and then flipped it over like you do it on parchment.
Yeah.
And then flip it over. And so they were, all the little Reese's, mini Reese's pieces were stuck on top.
In.
And delicious. Not in the middle, like they weren't in it, because I didn't want them to like melt and then the color
yeah,
would go
get
weird.
All weird. Yeah.
And we were a little concerned that maybe the peanut butter and the marshmallow would be like kind of weird.
It is not. It is hella delicious.
Highly recommend. If you want to mix up your Rice Krispie.
I was going to say, I'm always looking to mix
square
it up.
Game.
Like maybe put Smarties in it.
Try the little mini Reese's pieces. They're fucking delicious. Anyway, I've been baking like crazy. Not exciting to talk about, but it's the best.
Yeah.
I love it.
You're reaping the benefits.
Chris and I spending tons of time in our super tiny little kitchen. I like to use all of the tools. I like having it's like my sewing kit.
Yes.
I like having
the
right
for every purpose.
For the job.
Yes.
I like having the right scraper.
Those certain
right
tongs.
One's
yes.
for this bowl, one's for this bowl, one's for the pot.
One's
Thank
a serving
you.
Tong, one's a cooking tong. One's. Yeah.
I have this conversation yeah. with my husband, who I love dearly all the time. About
You're not on the same eye to
using,
eye. For,
he,
yeah.
he likes using one tool.
Sure.
I'm for all the things.
It out. Yeah.
I like having the right tool to use. I knew you guys would be on my side
oh,
about
for
this.
For sure.
That's why you have all that cool shit in your kitchen. Yeah. So you get to use it.
Well, you have 18 different knives.
Yes. You can't use the same knife to butter the bread as you cut the bread.
No, I have spreaders for that.
Yes.
And I got cutters for that.
You don't butter bread with a bread cutting knife.
No, I got serrated knives and I got the pointy knives. Yes, absolutely.
When you get to have that awesome
Do
tool.
I want crushed garlic or do I want diced garlic?
Do I
want
to mince it?
Yeah.
Do I want to shave it?
Do we need a zest?
The mandolin?
Do I need a zest?
Yes.
Are we grating?
Oh, I used my little zester today with the little peeler thingy, the little scraper.
So the little handheld ones?
Yeah, it's got like four little holes.
Yeah.
It's like the little...
So you don't need to take out the whole gigantic cheese grater to do like a little zest, like the four-sided cheese grater?
That's a good... I want
the
when I was
one.
Doing the lemon squares, I was like, oh, I wish I had one of those. That's a good one.
It's smaller than a peeler anyway. Got two different peelers.
You got to. You probably don't need two different peelers.
You probably make it work.
You probably.
But anyway, this sounds great.
Anyway, I will be gaining
yes.
a lot
say,
of
we'll
weight.
Talk to you in February. After you've had a couple months of this.
Just drinking all of the Caesars.
You'll be buying
and
a new pair of
all the food
on Everlane.
I went up a size when I ordered the last one, so I'm just going to fill these ones
okay.
out. I might be all right. Come in February, it might be a huge mistake, but
yeah. Update on Katie's vision. I bought the high waisted ones.
Yes,
the same Everlane jeans. They are amazing.
They're the best.
I same as you. I wore them like every day, like 5 days in a row afterwards.
I had to tell myself
they're black skinny jeans.
Today, yeah.
They go with everything.
I will be.
They go
more.
With all of my shoes and boots. They go with all of my tops.
All your coats and jackets. Yeah. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Good choice.
You guys, it's time.
Yes.
I think we've reached
90 minutes.
Thanks for listening.
Yes. We're very grateful.
Check us out on the World Wide Web.
Yes, that's where you can find us.
www.internet.com/fashionx. Find us on Netscape. Just kidding.
Yeah.
FashionXPodcast.com.
Update your explorer and find us.
You can go check out all the delightful featured images that Abby does for every
And the wonderful Friday videos and gifts that Katie posts on Instagram.
I'm always like, oh shit, it's Friday. I should probably post something.
It's fantastic. It always
usually
goes
on Friday.
It's good times.
And
the Monday ones are good too. There's also some Monday ones in there.
The Bugs Bunny one that I put up last week or whatever. Yeah. I was like, ooh, this is a good
one. That's a good one.
I really like this
one. Jumping out of the hole in the
sky.
He's like,
yawn. And then she's like, that's it, precious.
Yeah.
I love cartoon logic. It's the best. Anyway, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
If you would like what you are listening to, go to your iTunes or your wherever you get it and give us a bloop blop 5-star review and tell us how great we are, because we love it.
We love hearing it. It's great.
And it actually puts us higher up the charts, which is great.
Yes. Subscribe.
So do that. And subscribe. And
review. Right.
And you guys, thanks.
5 stars only.
Only the 5. If you don't like it, don't listen. I don't care.
Simple as that.
That's all there is to it.
Watch Drag Race and then come back.
But do remember that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Got it.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey.